per se, but that's certainly the way it's practiced. Edie?
Well, I was going to say, from conversation I've heard from administrators, maybe even school board members, I'm sure that they have sent an undesirable teacher on the way with a high recommendation just to get rid of them. And often they end up in our schools.
Yep. And it's unfortunate. It's not being a very good citizen, in my opinion. Okay. Some other questions that were posed to me really had to do with a separate issue from just the school. And I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about parental discipline and how society may view the way that we discipline our children, and what are some of the ins and outs, what are some of the areas that we might need to be concerned about with our discipline. Well, certainly we want to make perfectly clear that the Bible sets forth that it is the parent's responsibility. This isn't just a privilege or a right to be able to do this to your child, it's your responsibility. You need to discipline your children, period. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Over and over you chasten your children until they learn. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. While there is hope, he must learn submission to authority, or he'll never learn it to the Lord if he can't learn it from you. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Hebrews 12:5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Reminding us that we were chastened by our fathers, and for good reason. So let's never, when we enter in these conversations with people that may have a different opinion about discipline, let's never forget that God gives us the responsibility to discipline our children. Now, are we talking about beating the tar out of them? No. We're talking about disciplining our children. The rod, when it lists it here, is the rod go set in the corner? Well, maybe it is for some, but I can tell you right now, it wasn't for all of my children. The rod was a physical chastening of my child so that they would understand that there's a consequence for disobedience, and that consequence was unpleasant. Now, is the rod always a physical beating? No. Not in my opinion. The rod is what it takes to deliver discipline. I've had children that I would look at and raise my eyebrow and deepen my voice, and they would submit. To be fair to all my children, should I go beat that child on the bottom? It was accomplished, wasn't it? I have corrected my child. Every child's going to be different, but you as a parent have the responsibility to discipline your child. And physical disciplining of your children is specifically given as an option and a good one when it needs to be used. All right, so we never want to forget that. Now, what are we up against? Well, we're up against Congressman Lieber from Sacramento, California. Lieber, who does not have children, plans to introduce a bill this week that would make California, and this was in the past, by the way, that would make California the first state to make the spanking of children 4 years old and under a misdemeanor punishable by a year in jail or a fine of up to $1,000. Quote, the only thing a child learns by being beaten is that it's okay to beat or dominate children or the animals that are smaller. Unquote. Lieber told the Sacramento Bee. Quote again, to my mind, there's no amount of physical force that's appropriate on a child 3 years old or younger. Lieber said her office had received numerous phone calls about the legislation. Most callers are against it. Surprise. She compared the opposition to protests against the protection of women who are victims of domestic abuse. Connection? Where's that connection come from? I have to question why our society holds so tightly to physical discipline among the very young, Lieber said, according to the Times. We are very addicted to violence. Now, we might ask ourselves why there is so much violence. And the answer is not going to be because we have disciplined our children. Ask Dr. Sears, a noted psychologist. I've practiced pediatrics for 35 years and raised 8 children with my wife. Over the years, I have seen lots of children grow up, and I've become more and more convinced that spanking is not the best solution when it comes to child discipline. In my opinion, sparing the rod results in emotionally healthier and better disciplined children. In fact, based on increasing scientific evidence against spanking and anti-spanking opinions among child development researchers, most, and you're going to love this one, most European and Scandinavian countries have enacted laws against spanking. In addition, the United Nations, there's another good reason to listen, on the rights of the child declared spanking a form of violence and supports the creation of laws against physical punishment. Besides those facts, here is some other information you can share with your husband. This is an answering to a woman's request. And he's got all these reasons why spanking doesn't work. Did you hear a direct contradiction to the Word of God? Direct contradiction. In my opinion, sparing the rod results in emotionally healthier and better disciplined children. Exactly the opposite. We've got to recognize when people bring up all these arguments that this is in contrast to what the Word of the Lord says. Okay, how do we deal with it? Especially when we might be afraid that somebody's going to call the state on us, and they're going to get us in trouble because we're disciplining our child. Well, let me just quickly read to you from the Missouri Child Abuse Law. Abuse is defined as any physical injury, sexual abuse, or emotional abuse inflicted on a child other than by accidental means by those responsible for the child's care, custody, and control, except, now this is in the law, except that discipline, including spanking, administered in a reasonable manner shall not be construed to be abuse. There it is. The law says spanking is not illegal as long as it's done in a reasonable manner and not to be construed to be abuse. Okay? I don't have time to read all of it, but there are some definitions for what that abuse is. And the definitions include physical bruising that lasts over so many hours, visible marks of damage to the child's body. Now, when we discipline our children as parents in the Lord, our intention is not going to be to damage our children's bodies. It's going to be to cause physical discomfort that chastens that child. Are we in violation of a state law when we discipline our children? No. So, when people come up and start throwing all these things and trying to threaten you about this, this is a pretty easy thing to find on the website. And if you want to have copies to carry with you, you could. And just kind of highlight that part there that says that spanking is not against the law. Now, let me try to, in just a moment, give you some reasoning as to why some people are very passionate about this. And I can understand, by working in the public schools for several years now, I can understand why people are very passionate about this on what I consider to be the wrong side. In the state of Missouri alone, in 2005, 54,108 reports of child abuse occurred. 1 year. 54,000. It involved 80,577 children. That just makes you sick, doesn't it? What kind of world we're living in? The hotline that takes these calls is operated year-round, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has 52 trained people. Now, I just did a little quick math there. If you had 52 people that are answering these calls, that's an average of 148 calls per day each person is going to be taking. Now, if you were sitting in a situation like that, wouldn't you be concerned about child abuse? So you see why some people are really passionate. It may be that when you engage people about this topic, you might need to acknowledge that, yes, there are some ungodly abuses that are going on, and it's not right. Does that mean that you can't discipline your child? No, but at least you understand maybe the passion that these people have. That's 1,040 calls per worker that they've taken in a year's time. During the year, 8,158 children were involved in incidents that were substantiated. Someone went out, they saw the physical sign of the abuse, they substantiated the claim. 8,158 kids in the state of Missouri in 1 year had substantiated physical abuse. 32 children died in the state of Missouri in 2005, and that was down some from 42 in 2004. So this is why people are upset and why people are passionate. And it's an ugly thing. So as you're dealing with people, please keep that in mind. Certainly, what I tell a person about justifying my own child's discipline should not make light of the real problem that these people are seeing. But we're not the problem. And the solution is not going to be enacting laws against disciplining children. That's far from the solution. And unfortunately, the solution is not going to be developing political action campaign groups and going out and picketing and all this. How are you going to change the society, the community that you live in? How did Jesus change the society that he lived in? One person at a time, didn't he? One soul at a time. So all of these activists may have at heart a good reason for why they're doing what they're doing, at least in their own mind. They're sincerely doing what they think is right. But they've got the wrong method, and they have the wrong information in many cases. Questions or comments on the child abuse and neglect issue? Well, we're certainly up against some daunting things in our society as parents. And we touched on just a few of them. Let me kind of summarize a few of those. Certainly, the activism in the homosexual community is obvious. It's in your face, everywhere you look. In the public schools, they would love to have access to our public schools. In some places, they do. Again, I'm very blessed to be in a community where that's not evident. But who's to say that it might not be in the future? We may have to deal with it. Hundreds of public schools have already opened their doors to a group called GLSEN. It stands for the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. It sponsors more than 3,000 pro-gay clubs in schools. And remember earlier when I talked about the free access law? If there was a group of students that came to your principal and said, we want to have one of these GLSEN clubs at school, and they let the chess club, they let the language club, they let all these other clubs do it, according to the free access law, the federal government's influence over our schools, that school would have to allow that club in the same criteria as any other club to be a part of the school's extracurricular activities. Now, in the particular district that I work in, one of the criteria for a group of students to have a club is that they have to have a faculty member that will sponsor the club. And this has saved us because, unfortunately, we have a faculty that has some reasoning about them, a faculty that has their faculties. And no one has stepped up to sponsor these kind of aberrant things in our schools. The GLSEN clubs, and I think I was talking to someone about a Wiccan club, people who worship the devil and practice witchcraft. There was two or three students in our school that obviously did that in the way they dressed, and they had approached someone about having their own club after school. Unfortunately, none of the faculty would agree to sponsor it, and so they weren't able to have it. But yet they were treated fairly as all the other clubs who were able to find the faculty members to sponsor them. But we're on the verge here, you see, of these things being forced into schools, perhaps, by those laws that we talked about earlier. Certainly, sexual promiscuity. John did a wonderful job of helping us through that topic this morning. We're looking at people who have an agenda that would want our students to accept very liberal view of sexuality. They would want to open up the doors so that our students would feel that it is a normal, a healthy thing to just engage in all kinds of sexual activity. Again, fortunately, because of where I live, this is not an issue in the school, but it is in several schools already. So something that we look for and maybe make that decision, do I send my child to the public school or not? Maybe this is an issue that we keep our eye on. The teaching of evolution. This is something that does happen in the school that I work at. And I've worked with my own children to understand those issues. And I do not feel that there was a detriment to them being there because of my knowing them not being influenced by that. Had I thought that my child would be influenced by that in a negative way, I'd have done something about it. That may have led to me requesting them just being out of the classroom for a certain topic. And you can do that. If there's a certain subject that you think is offensive or detrimental to the moral character of your child, and you want them to be out of the classroom for that period of time, that's a very reasonable thing to ask. And again, I would encourage you to go lowest level, ask the teacher first, give your reasoning why, and more than likely it's going to be settled right there. If it's not, take it right up the chain of command. I can guarantee you, in the communities that I'm in, they do not want an article in the newspaper about a parent that was denied allowing their child to sit out of a lesson like that. That would be devastating to public opinion of the school district, and they would not like that at all. You've got a lot of power in that regard. School districts value their public opinion. So those are just a few things that, I know are on the agenda of certain groups that would like to influence our schools. The way they try to influence it is to get students interested in having these groups after school. They also try to bring materials into the classrooms through individual teachers. They try to bring materials into the libraries at school. Well, that's a tough issue, because by far the majority of our teacher education programs teach our librarians that it's the American right to have anything and everything accessible to the public. And we know as parents that is not the right thing to do. And even if there were a legal right, it's still not morally correct to do that. And you may be astounded right now if you were to walk through your school library and look at the magazines that are on the rack and look at some of the books that are being displayed there. Be aware of the environment of your child, and if it cannot be tolerated, there are other options. There are other options for that. Questions or comments on those things? Okay. I felt a little awkward in this presentation because I spent so much time on secular things, but I hope there was some practical thing that you could gain from this that would help you apply spiritual concepts. Dealing with your child, with the rights, the privileges, the responsibilities of being a parent there.
Well, I was saying one of the biggest educational values that we have is our home. If we fight the fight at school, but we neglect our home, then we have failed to start with. Yeah. And television is one of the biggest problems in our society as far as if we accept television as blasé and not concern in a sales what our children digest the first 5 years of their life, then we have lost all the way around. Yes, we have.
Well said. If you're here this afternoon and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus into your life, what you learn in school is really not going to matter much. When the Lord comes in the clouds to take his own, if you're not his, it doesn't matter what degree you have, doesn't matter what job you've attained, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank or what great potential you have for this life, because it's all going to be gone. The most important thing we can do for our children, as was stated earlier this morning, is to help them be godly. That's the most important thing we can do for our children. Help them know who God is and make that decision to follow him. As an individual, the most important thing we can do is to realize our position with God. If we're outside of Jesus Christ, we're beyond hope. If you're here this afternoon and you wish to accept the offer, the invitation that the Lord makes to be a part of his people, to have a future that transcends education here, a future that is forever with him,